You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, presented by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for the game, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through the game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. You can follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me, as always, is Matt Williamson. Follow Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, how's it going today?
Things are great. How are you?
I'm good. We are through 7 weeks of the NFL season. I did not think we'd get here. I'm very glad we are. And the COVID situation seems to be getting better in NFL terms, at least. I know cases are popping up, but the games continue and
shows going on
for better or worse. Yeah, absolutely. That's good news for us as fans, for us as fantasy players. If nothing else, it's been a good escape. Matt, as we always do on Tuesday, we're going to start the show with some dynasty transactions, There's a lot to buy or sell this week. It seems like this is the time, if you haven't already, this is really the time you need to figure out if you're a playoff team in your fantasy league or if you're playing for next year. And of course, these trades, buys and sells, really play into that quite a bit. I'm going to start. It seems like we've been buying a lot, suggesting players that we would want to target in trades. And not as many sales lately, so I came up with one that I'm a little uncertain of long term. It's Stephon Diggs. I think there was some uncertainty with Diggs coming into the season. Had the history of injury, of course, switching teams. That always throws some uncertainty, and typically we see players, especially wide receivers, take a step back when changing teams, and this year's really bucked that trend with Diggs, Robbie Anderson, DeAndre Hopkins all excelling. But to me, it feels like that Buffalo offense is taking a little bit of a step back. I don't know if it's just Josh Allen or if it's the offense as a whole, but a couple of disappointing games from them in a row. Diggs was just the wide receiver 40-something this past week, so certainly a rough start for those who were relying on him. And when I look at our ADP at DLF, some of the players that he's being valued around, I would certainly prefer those, including Terry McLaurin and Allen Robinson. Kenny Golladay is close. If I can move Stephon Diggs for a player like that, I'm definitely doing it. And even if I'm out of contention, I have to move down the list of wide receivers a little bit. If I can get Jerry Jeudy and a piece, if I can get even like a Marquise Brown and a piece on top of that, those are moves I'm considering. What are your thoughts on the Bills' offense lately?
Yeah, the names you throw out there are more appealing to me than Diggs, especially a McLaurin or somebody like that. I think he's a stud. But I think it's a really interesting time for the Bills because they came out guns a-blazin', Josh Allen's the MVP, they're the best team around, you know, and that's probably not what they are. But what's interesting to me is I think we looked at this team in the offseason and thought, great defense, well coached, they'll run the ball, they'll make Allen's life easier, Diggs is a nice addition. But what the reality is, they haven't been good on defense. They haven't been good running the ball. Allen's kind of carried the team and has been the only constant to me. So I wonder, are they going to get it right? John Brown comes back. I think that has been an influence too because they throw the ball a ton. And they use a lot of receivers on the field when everybody's healthy. And Diggs is clearly their best guy. And I'm starting to warm up to Allen as a player. So I'm not disagreeing with you that sell Diggs. But the names you mentioned are more appealing. I think he's a great football player. And I kind of think that this is an odd time for the Bills. I'm not sure they're showing their true colors.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm wondering is what are their true colors? They start season hot, certainly, but that was kind of expected given that schedule. And even last week against the Jets and what was predicted to be a huge chance for some fantasy output, it just wasn't there. So certainly disappointing. And to be fair to Josh Allen and the Bills offense in general, you kind of alluded to it there. There have been a lot of injuries. I mean, Zach Moss has missed games. John Brown has missed games. Dawson Knox is out. In fact, I think two or three of their tight ends ended up on the COVID list. So they have suffered through quite a few injuries. Diggs is one who has been healthy, which is not the norm for him, unfortunately. So it's just another player who I would go ahead and trade now, while the value seems high.
I see what you're saying, and I don't disagree. Better be the right deal, though.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, as always. He's same as always.
Matt, who are you shopping for this week?
There is a guy I'm very interested in, and that's Denzel Mims. And buying Jets couldn't be more penny stock, bargain basement. And so I'm interested, could that be Trevor Lawrence throwing to Mims next year? And my logic is, first of all, he played pretty well this year, or this past week, and showed up on the field. We actually got to see the guy. And frankly, I loved him coming out of school. I mean, I thought for sure he would go in the latest, early second round, right in that T. Higgins range. And he fell, and the more I thought about it, it was just, hey, those other receivers, Higgins included, are just really good, and there's no shame falling behind the guys that he did. And I don't dislike him anymore because he wasn't a first-round pick, and I think you can get him reasonably cheap.
Yeah, I love that call. You certainly could have got him cheaper a week ago, though. Now
right.
That he's,
Great
now that he's made his season debut, spent the first 6 weeks along with much of the training camp time on the shelf with that injury. Both hamstrings, I believe, were injured, not just one, which is kind of rare. But he did lead the way on Sunday in targets, receptions, and yards. We're still talking Jets, so the numbers overall right. were modest. 4 catches for 42 yards, but the target share, the snap numbers were great, and it feels like it's a sign of things to come. So definitely love that call. If you can steal Denzel Mims in your league, that's definitely something to look into.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, to be fair here, somebody probably spent an early second rounder on him. They've been waiting 2 months now almost to see what he can do, and he looks pretty good. So I don't want to say we've missed our chance to buy, but the price is steadily rising for sure.
You're right. I mean, I would have sounded a lot smarter if I said that a week ago.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
The other one I wanted to throw out really quickly, I mentioned this on Twitter last week and got a lot of response on it. So I think there's a lot of people that would agree with me. Dallas Goedert. Buy Dallas Goedert. It sounds like he's still a couple weeks away from returning from that injury, but we know Zach Ertz is out a while. The Eagles continue to deal with multiple injuries. They finally get DeSean Jackson back last week. He gets injured again and is now on the injured reserve list. But Goedert, hopefully coming back soon, and Jalen Reagor as well, back on the field soon, we hope. So, I mean, to me, Goedert is a top 5 dynasty tight end. And with the time off that he's had because of this injury, it's a little bit of out of sight, out of mind, I think. But as soon as he's back on the field, I expect him to be easily a top 10 scorer. And with Zach Ertz likely gone next year, Goedert is the player to own there. We know how Philly likes to use their tight ends. They can't keep anybody on the field, so whoever's there is going to get an opportunity. What have you seen, or just what are your overall thoughts on Goddard, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, he's a buy in flashing red lights, and has been for a few weeks now. He's going to get more and more expensive, just like all these guys are, that are, you know, probably as this gets more and more revealed. Wentz loves throwing to the tight ends. I'm not sure if Ertz were still healthy that he wouldn't have got traded already. It's probably hard to deal him now, but he won't be back next year. He looks slow and sluggish and was never the most athletic guy to begin with. And I love Dallas Goedert as a football player. I mean, I think it's an ideal situation. I think I mentioned him a few weeks ago just to pat myself on the back, but I didn't say top five tight end like you did. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, I think McDowell's right, man. I mean, there aren't many that I would trade him for straight up for right in Dynasty.
Yeah, someone, when I did mention that on Twitter, someone even said Darren Waller versus Goddard.
I was just thinking that same thing, yeah.
Yeah, in Dynasty, I want Goddard still. Yeah. Especially if, you know, Waller's the guy producing right now. So if you can get anything back along with that, even if it's a late second or a third round pick, then that would be a move I would want to make.
Wow. That's rich, but I don't disagree. Noticeably younger.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Matt, when we come back, we will get into our team building talk, and we're going to talk a team that's maybe struggled to build up their team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Cool. They sure are, but... folks, this football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi's big in my house, there's no question about that. And Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it, like all of us. So Pepsi, made for football watching. Also, I want to tell you guys all about rockauto.com. We've brought them up several times on this podcast. I've mentioned them many times on Peacock and Williamson and Locked On NFL well before that. And, you know, one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for more important things, you know, food, mortgage, whatever it is you choose to spend it on. Or maybe that's just your hobby, your passion. If so, or if any of the above, you got to definitely check out rockauto.com. And chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everyone, no matter who you are, and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login information. So, they have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals or all you guys out there listening. So, why spend twice as much for the same parts? Here's what you do. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that it was us that sent you. We'd appreciate that. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Matt, this might be a depressing segment, Matt. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that many people projected to be Super Bowl contenders, and it has fallen apart and fallen apart quickly. And honestly, it was already headed that way even before the injury to Dak Prescott. They were proving to be one of the worst defenses in the league, giving up I think the most points in the league to opposing teams. And obviously things have gotten much worse on offense since Dak Prescott went out. The numbers don't really lie. We've got Ezekiel Elliott, RB18, and then RB36. So a pair of frustrating games from him. Not only is he not getting the yards, he can't even hold on to the ball. The wide receivers, pretty much the same story. Amari Cooper did have a solid fantasy game a couple weeks ago. Wide receiver 7 caught that touchdown late to save the day, but he was outside of the top 25 wide receivers this past week. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 27, Michael Gallup, wide receiver 70 a couple weeks ago. Both of those guys outside of the top 90 wide receivers this past game. And, of course, we know the latest with Andy Dalton. Takes that that terrible hit from the Washington defender. So he's out. I think we have to assume he's not going to play coming up in week 8 with the concussion. So it's going to be the rookie Ben DiNucci. Got a shot taking over for Dalton, and predictably it was mostly ugly. The offensive line is as hurt as the rest of the team, and maybe even more so. Like I said, this team is just falling apart. What have you seen specifically from Elliott?
It's miserable. I mean, it obviously is. Elliott's fumbles are an issue, and that's not an entirely new thing, but I don't know that it's something that'll keep up or hurt his playing time. Because we got to remember, I mean, Jerry Jones is the one that rules the roost there without question, and he's the one that just signed Elliott the huge contract. He's going to play a ton. There's a couple things I want to stress, though, with this team that are sort of side notes from Elliott that I think will change. First of all, it wasn't as big an issue against Washington this week, but their turnovers and turnover differential this year is historically bad, remarkably bad. Everyone wants to blame the injuries and the quarterback and the bad defense and the coaches. If they just turned the ball over in the bottom third of the league and not a distant 32nd, they would be a much more successful team. You know, I mean, that in itself makes it almost impossible to succeed in the league. And I have to think it gets closer to the mean, you know, sooner than later or big picture. The offensive line is killed with injuries. That's going to get better too. Maybe not necessarily this year, but you get your tackles back, Martin, and maybe you reinforce it going forward. I would bet that's a good line next year. And the quarterback play is going to be better next year. Almost has to be again, assuming Dak comes back. I know that the coaching staff deserves a lot of blame here on both sides of the ball, and they're not super creative, and they're old-school thinkers. But you know what? So was Jason Garrett, and this was still, like, the best offense in the league. I mean, it's just super talented. It may be a rough month. It may be a rough 2020. But I want these players.
Yeah, I do as well in Dynasty. And honestly, from when you're looking at these three wide receivers, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, I think the answer is really easy for those guys. You buy them in Dynasty. If there's any type of discount, and I don't expect there to be, certainly with Lamb, probably with Cooper either, but if you can get any of those players at any type of discount because of the struggles of the Cowboys, because of the injuries at quarterback or the offensive line, then you make those moves. I'm still confident in buying Dak Prescott in Dynasty, especially in a super flex league. Of course, that injury was very serious, and there was immediately talk that it could impact his 2021 season, and I guess it still could, but it seems like all went well in that process. No issues post-surgery like we heard from Alex Smith. So good news on that front with Dak Prescott. I want him in super flex leagues. It's Elliott that I'm a little more hesitant in buying, partially because I think the price tag is still very high, and he simply isn't producing. Even prior to the Dak injury and prior to all these offensive line injuries, he didn't look like the same player. I mean, do you think that's COVID related? He did reportedly have COVID this summer. Do you think there's anything to that?
I have no idea, but I think it's an interesting conversation because on Peacock and Williamson, also on the Locked On Network, I was talking today, like, maybe COVID isn't good for Cam Newton. You know what I mean? Like, everyone just assumes you're fine, you know. Maybe it's not good to be a professional athlete that recently had COVID. We don't know, but I can't think it's a good idea. You know what I mean? And maybe, I mean, COVID aside, we know that Elliott's had a ridiculous workload, and that goes back to Ohio State, too, and he's a physical runner. History's undefeated, and running backs don't last forever. I mean, has he possibly lost a step? And he's always had great blocking and doesn't anymore. I'm not saying he was overrated back in the day, but he was in a pretty nice situation.
Is it fair to say, would you say Elliott is still a top five dynasty running back?
No. You know, like, would you rather have Josh Jacobs or Sanders than him? You know, somebody like that? I think
right.
I would.
I think those are the conversations to have. We'll get to our listener question soon. We did get one, and it wasn't on the agenda today, but we can discuss it right now. In a dynasty league, would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott or DeAndre Swift?
Elliott.
Yeah, okay, so still yeah. Elliott.
I don't know if Swift's ever going to be a full-time player.
You hesitated, though.
Right, I was a little taken aback, you know, that was even... I hesitated because I was shocked that it's actually a question, and it's not a terrible question, but I'm quick to side with Elliott. I also don't trust the Lions coaching staff either.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, we're still talking McCaffrey and Kamara and Barkley ahead of Zeke, I would imagine.
Sure.
You've got Edwards-Helaire and Taylor, both a little frustrating. Edwards-Helaire is certainly coming on recently. And then you get into, Sanders and Jacobs, Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon. I mean,
he might be Zeke seventh.
He might be closer to 10 than he is to 1.
I think he is. Like, I'd rather have Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd rather Derrick Henry.
We've seen it when those running backs start losing value, whether it's age or injury related or whatever it might be. They usually can't turn it around. It's tough to do that. So I guess the good news, if you want to look at it that way, not a ton of high-profile 2021 rookie running backs coming in. In a normal year, we might throw one or two of those rookies into that range and automatically put those ahead of players that might be in that 8 to 15 range and maybe... Maybe that doesn't hurt Zeke and other players in that range this year. He's obviously trending down. I don't know if he's even an automatic weekly start at this point for the rest of this season.
Wow. I think he is because people are starting Gaskin and Robinson. And, you know, if you're starting 24 backs in this league, he's got to be one of those. There's some starts right now, especially with McCaffrey out and Barkley and... I mean, I started Devontae Freeman this week, and he had 8 yards, you know?
Yeah, each week, each Sunday night, I list the top 12 scorers from each position and share that on Twitter. And the running back list this past week, Jeff Wilson, a top 12, and in the RB1 with those 3 touchdowns before the injury. Chase Edmonds comes in after the injury to Drake, ends up as a top 5 guy. Jamal Williams, Gio Bernard, both getting the start in place of the injured starters. They're top 10 guys. Boston Scott, same thing. Carlos Hyde, same thing, taking over for injury. Wayne Gallman almost snuck into that RB1 range.
Boston Scott.
So, yeah, it was a pretty ugly list, and that's a fair point by you.
Quick question. Would you, for redraft and dynasty, Zeke or Chubb?
I think redraft, I would still take Zeke.
Yeah, at least he's playing football right now.
Yeah, we're not sure on the injury. I mean, if you tell me Chubb's playing in 2 weeks, I could maybe go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that close. If we knew more, I think I would take Chubb in Dynasty, which this is another one of those conversations that makes me think I probably need to update my rankings. But that's the reality with Zeke, is that he is losing value. And when you have situations like this where the team is just falling apart and we have to chalk up the season as a lost year, the wide receivers that are 22, 23, 25, even 26, I think in Cooper's case, those guys can survive that a little bit more when it comes to their dynasty value. The running backs who are 25, 26, and like you said, have carry the ball, carry the load for years and years, dating back to college. It's not as easy for them to get through and maintain their value.
No, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, if you like Chubb better than him, he might be outside the top 10 dynasty backs. And then I was thinking, if we did a startup right now, and I have the 11th pick overall in a 12-team startup, and he's there around the corner at 13 or 14, I don't know that I'm building my team that way.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Honestly, I can't imagine spending a first-round startup pick on him right now.
I'm not sure to a second, my point.
Right, right. I saw, going back to Twitter, I saw our buddy Curtis Patrick put out some Twitter polls. And again, we talk about those on the show, so take those for what they're worth. But the question was Zeke Elliott versus two random first-round rookie picks in 2021. And the picks were winning pretty easily the last time I checked. So that's kind of where Zeke's value is. Hopefully we get a couple bounce back games. So if you do want to sell, if you do still have shares, you can get out at a pretty reasonable price. Matt, when we come back, we will finish up the show with a listener question. All right, Matt, we are back. We've got one listener question today. Comes from a longtime listener, Footsteps Falco at Fab Falco on Twitter. And I like this one because this is about a team and a player we haven't talked much about this year, but I think it's an important situation for dynasty players to watch closely. How do you guys feel about Teddy Bridgewater in Superflex formats? Good offense, good weapons. Seems like the franchise is going in the right direction. I definitely agree with that. How likely is Carolina to draft a quarterback in 2021? Matt, before we get into some of those specific questions and some of the value pieces, tell us just what you've seen from Carolina. Of course, the new coaching staff, both Matt Rhule and Joe Brady there, both of those have become hot names around the NFL. I don't know if Joe Brady will be there next year. Maybe that's something we should start considering.
Maybe, right?
He might get a head coaching job of his own.
He's phenomenal. He really, really is. I mean, if I were the Texans or Atlanta, I would be heavily, heavily interested, to say the least. But I also trust Rhule to find somebody else. And I think that's a very good ownership group. I think they're really strong from the top down. Teddy's really easy to root for. He's frankly playing better, whether it's scheme-aided or not, or both, than I expected. They're playing better than I expected. I thought they'd be the worst defense in the league by a million and would end up as a 4 or 5 win team and possibly be in the quarterback market. I don't think that they'll have the opportunity to draft one of the top three guys, and they're probably pretty comfortable with Teddy, especially if they build a defense and, you know, another big-time offensive lineman or something like that. The offense has been quite good, and that's even without McCaffrey for, you know, it's only going to get better with all respect to Davis. But one thing I've noticed about Teddy that I don't think will probably go away, bad defenses he carves up, good defenses give him problems. And, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I just feel like there's a ceiling there when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater. He did pop for the quarterback 4 game back in week 4 against Arizona. Other than that, he's been the quarterback 12 or worse every week. He's a solid super flex option, and that's what Falco's asking about here. So in a super flex format, obviously, he does have some solid value. I pulled some recent trades. I think all of these are reasonable to pay for Bridgewater. Kirk Cousins and a third rounder. I'd rather have Bridgewater than Cousins.
Yes, so, for sure.
I don't think the third rounder changes much. Teddy Bridgewater for Daryl Henderson, even up. And again, these are all super flex league trades.
I'd rather Bridgewater.
I would as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Bridgewater for a first. It's a fair ask for sure. I'm probably not paying a first for Bridgewater. But I'm not surprised to see that those types of trades happen. And the last one is the one I really wanted to ask you about. Bridgewater, 1 for 1 for Sam Darnold. Who are you taking in that trade?
Bridgewater. I actually have one I want to throw by you, too. I really like Sam Darnold as a player. Like, the Steeler fan in me is hoping he ends up here and learns behind Ben. I bet there's Bucks fans thinking the same thing. But he's... I mean, is he any different than Jameis Winston right now? You know, Darnold? Not really. They may not be starters for a while.
Right. From a fantasy standpoint, I think we have to prefer Jameis Winston. Maybe. The assumption is that Winston's going to be looking for a starting job this offseason. And if Breeze retires, maybe he stays in New Orleans or whatever the situation. He basically wants to follow that Teddy Bridgewater path where he right. took the Saints backup job and then got the, of course, got the Carolina job.
And Darnold might be taking the Winston path, which was the Bridgewater path. You know, there's all a year behind each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Darnold feels more like his I guess, career trajectory feels more like Ryan Tannehill, where he was just basically viewed as a bust. He had to take what was viewed as a backup job, and then we saw Tannehill take that job and has played really well. So
get out of a bad situation and go to a good one.
Right. I feel like that's a possibility, and of course they both have Adam Gase in common as well. I feel like that's a possibility for Darnold, so I like him. We've gone way off of Falco's question, but I like Darnold as a super flex buy. I like Teddy as a super flex buy as well. Again, just kind of think about that relatively limited ceiling. Kind of he is what he is, even with the coaching staff and the weapons there in Carolina.
About 2 weeks ago, Ryan, I traded Bridgewater in a super flex for Cortland Sutton.
I think most people would love that trade for you. I'm a little worried about that injury for Sutton.
Drew Lock doesn't look so good either.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right.
Normally, Sutton would be a guy I would rather sell than buy, even though I typically try to buy low on the injured guys. But for that price, I think it's worth the investment. It's worth taking a chance.
I don't like giving up a quarterback for a receiver. One's common and one isn't.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say. If I am trading, if I'm trading a quarterback in a super flex league, I almost always want to get one in return, even if it's a lesser name or a backup or something like that. But to take a chance on Sutton, that makes sense. That's kind of in line with Bridgewater's value. And if you're looking at these trades we talked about today, I think that would be the best return for Bridgewater.
Probably. But it's risky, and you're waiting a year.
Matt, that will do it for today's show. Please make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. You can follow Matt at Williamson NFL, and I'm Ryan MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.